of Genesis, chapter 2, Schofield Reference Bible, page 8, and beginning with the 21st verse, we'll read responsively through verse 24. Genesis chapter 2, verses 21 through 24. Shall we stand, please, standing for the reading of the Word of God? And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for this season of the year. Of course, a lot's going on, and we pray that you'd help all that's going on will be blessed of thee in very special ways. And it's always exciting here at this church. If it's not graduation time, then something else is going on, and always busy, always something to do. And what a wonderful opportunity this place affords its members to be a part of a great and growing church. Now we pray that you'd bless this evening, and this evening, of course, is important. It's important that we hear your word. It's important that we get something to help us throughout the coming week. We believe that you've given something to our preacher that will help, that will bless and encourage. Thank you for your attendance here with us, for where two or three are gathered in thy name. Truly thou art in the midst, and we praise thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Thinking about 15 minutes earlier than this, and I assure you that I will not be guilty of redundancy tonight, but I shall be very brief compared to what I usually am, and I'm usually not very long-winded on Sunday night, usually 35, 40 minutes. I do not think I'll preach that long tonight unless you do not listen well. And I'm going to read, without your turning to it, a verse that you read a while ago. It says, And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. He took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. I preached a Mother's Day message this morning. Tonight, I'm going to preach a Mother's Day message. I tell our preacher boys, I'll tell you again, a preacher should never be stereotyped. You should never feel obligated to preach in a certain type of a sermon, in a certain way. You should be versatile and should be able to preach on a beautiful sermon on heaven as well as a hot sermon on hell, a sermon on the love of God, and then a hot sermon on the wrath of God. Tonight, I turn our attention to the mothers, and I hope you'll listen carefully. As I speak, listen to every word. I'm speaking tonight on the subject, from His side. From His side. Our Heavenly Father, I come tonight, as I've done for these many, many long years. I now for, 40 years and 8 months and more, Sunday after Sunday, Sunday night after Sunday night, Wednesday night after Wednesday night, year after year, decade after decade, I come again tonight. Help me to be used of God. That's all I ask, to be used of God and be a blessing tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. The word rib in the Bible is a general word that is often translated side, S-I-D-E, side. That means that woman came from the side of man. We often say that she came from his left side, near the door of his heart, to be loved by him. More and more, though I do not know for sure either of these is right, but more and more, I think that she was taken from his right side, from under his right arm, to be protected by him and receive security from him. Be that as it may, it does say that she came from his side. From his side, so that they may walk life's pathway together. From his side, so that he may hold her up when steps are unsure. From his side, so he may offer her the embrace of security. She came from his side, so he may engulf her in his arms of affection. She came from his side, so that his pinion of love might shelter her in the storm. She came from his side, so that she may feel the security of his presence. She came from his side, so that it is convenient to clasp hands together. She came from his side, so that he may protect her from harm. She came from his side so that her tears can fall on his breast. When her heart is broken, her hopes are dashed, she may weep and the tears may fall upon the breast. She came from his side in order to encourage a pat of encouragement from him and to him. She came from his side so that his shoulder shall be a pavilion of peace for her. From his side to share life's dungeons of darkness and life's tunnels of trouble. She came from his side so that they may together be together when victors or victims. She came from his side so that she may raise his arm in triumph or hold it in defeat. From his side so that they may stand together at the crib or at the grave. She came from his side so that she may feel his heartbeat and mend it when it is broken. She came from his side so that I love you may be whispered and yet heard. She came from his side in order to hear the heave of his breast and the breath of his sigh. She came from his side that she may be by his side. And ladies, let me say to you tonight, there's no way in the world that you can be a good Christian, not be a good wife. There's no way in the world that you can be disloyal to your husband and be a good Christian. God made you from his side to be by his side. By his side at the altar, exchanging sacred vows. By his side when walking by day and when resting by night. By his side when children come and when children leave. By his side when his hands are sure and steady or when his hands are thin and wasted. By his side when his shoulders are straight and strong and when his shoulders by time have become stooped and weary. By his side when others crowd you. And by his side when you are alone. By his side to be comfort's giver or recipient, whichever is needed at the time. By his side when the ring that you have given him years ago becomes too large for his finger to wear anymore. But you say, Brother Hiles, this is Mother's Day. You say this is a Mother's Day sermon. You said nothing about mothers yet. You've only talked about the wife being by the side of the husband. Listen carefully. Don't leave me now. Quite the contrary. A sermon admonishing you to be a, listen to me, to be a better wife is a Mother's Day sermon. You cannot be a good mother without being a good wife. Let me say it again. You cannot be a good mother without being a good wife. But the greatest gift that you can give your child is to give your child a woman that loves her husband and a woman that loves their father. Now, hear me carefully. You cannot be successful in your secondary responsibility without being successful in your primary responsibility. God looked down one day and God made you to be a wife. That's why you're here.
God didn't see a snotty-nosed brat or a child and make you to wipe the mucus off of his face. God didn't look down and see a child that needed his diaper changed and made you to change that diaper. God did not make you to be a mother. God made you to be a wife. And your primary responsibility in life is being a wife, and your secondary responsibility is being a mother. I say it again. You cannot be successful. Listen to me now. Young people, listen to me. You cannot be successful in your secondary responsibility without being successful in your primary responsibility. You cannot be a good Christian. Hear this statement. Don't miss it. You cannot be a good Christian without being a good wife. And you cannot be a good mother without being a good Christian. Let me say it again. You cannot be a good Christian without being a good wife. And you cannot be a good mother without being a good Christian. So if you are not a good wife, you are not a good Christian, and you're not right with God, and you're giving your child or your children a mother who is not a good Christian, and you cannot be a good mother without being a good Christian. Child care is preparation for mate care. Let me say it again. Child care is preparation for mate care. The other day, Mrs. House and I were at the hospital. Paul O'Brien was going through some serious times. He was literally not aware of what was going on, and he was confused and waving his hands and fighting, wanting to go home. Miss Hiles and I were there, and we saw Rose O'Brien, his loving wife, for those many years. We saw her caring for Paul, and I saw her, and I said to myself, many years she's prepared for this day. Because she's been to the college of being a mother so she could be a graduate someday and nurse a husband in his last years. I look at Mrs. Rogers, Randy's dear wife. For these years, a loving mother. Now Randy is paralyzed, and Mrs. Rogers is a faithful care nurse for her husband. Why? Because she's been trained at the bedside of her children. And you cannot be a good Christian and not be a good wife. And I said again, child care is preparation for mate care. You will be to your aging husband what you are to your infant child. Years ago, in the fall of 1959, I became very ill. I had 103 and 104 temperature. I was preaching in Southern California. Ms. Hiles went out with me. I was preaching in Southern California, and I became very, very ill. I preached that night. We flew back. I think it was during the night we flew back. And the next night was deacons meeting night. I came to deacons meeting, and on the way home from deacons meeting that night, I became more ill. Deacons meetings always make me sick. And I became more ill. In fact, I was so sick, I stopped at 173rd Street in Calumet and went to sleep at the wheel because I had such a high temperature. And somebody had to come and knock on the car window so I could quit blocking traffic and continue going. I contacted Dr. Dennis Streeter, and Dr. Dennis Streeter had the test made and found out that I had a severe case of pneumonia. If I remember correctly, I had both bacterial pneumonia and what's the other kind? Help me. Whatever the other kind is, I had both of them. When I do something, I do it right. But you would not believe, listen to me now, you would not believe the care I got. No nurse has ever cared for a patient like Ms. House cared for me. With loving hands and a warm, tender heart and sweet honey flowing from her lips, she cared for me while I had a serious case. In fact, I was out 3 Sundays from preaching here while I had a serious, severe case of pneumonia. And one day I was lying as I was recovering. And I said, my wife is a wonderful nurse. And it dawned on me. When our oldest child, Becky, was 2 years old, she had pneumonia. And my wife sat by her, watching her little hands. Back in the days, we didn't have all these antibiotics to fight pneumonia. And the doctor said, she may not live through the night. And my wife sat there and doctored Becky. You know what she was doing? She was going to school so when she graduated from child care, she could take care of her husband someday when he had pneumonia. I'm trying to tell you tonight, there's nothing in this world that could save America like a revival of old-fashioned good wives. That means also good mothers. You can change all the preachers in America. You can change all of the politics in America, change all of the social programs in America, have all the social betterment campaigns you want to. You're not going to change America, but you change the women of America, and you'll change America. America's not going to have revival until we put woman back in the place where woman was meant to be. And woman was not meant to run for the Senate in New York State. And woman was not meant to be governor of a state, or a senator, or a congressman. God gave you a far loftier job than that. That of being a helpmeet for the man that God has chosen you for, and a mother to those people that God has given you to rear. Let's go back home again and rear our children. Let's take it away from the child-rearing agencies, and let mama rear the children once again. The best thing a mother can do for her children is to love their daddy. When the children have left your side, you will be still at his side. Womanhood is the factory where good fathers are made. When you're a good wife, you're manufacturing a good father for your children. Being a good wife is the best preparation you can give your daughter for marriage. For you become a model. You know, Rosie the Riveter didn't rear a good daughter who became a good wife. I'm trying to tell you that we need, ladies and gentlemen, an old-fashioned revival of mothers teaching their daughters how to be good wives by example as a pattern. Being a good wife is showing your son the type of wife he should choose. I knew I was going to bring this little message tonight, and I've been singing all week. I want a girl just like the girl that married dear old dad. No, no applause, please. No, no applause, no applause. You can get my tape back in the back tonight, and my CD's on sale back there. I want a girl just like the girl that married dear old dad. She was the girl and the only girl that daddy ever had. The old-fashioned girl with eyes so blue. Never did love anybody else but you. I want a girl just like the girl that married dear old dad. And that kind of girl wasn't a girl that was in a defense plant with pants on building airplanes. So, ladies, rush to his side. That's where you came from. Rush to his side. Put him first. It's best for your child. A woman will be a better mother if her husband is before the child than she will if the child is before the husband. Rush to his side. Cheer him more than you cheer the children. Do you know what I said? You go to these little leagues and cheer a 10-year-old boy because he can take a stick and hit a ball across the pasture. Your husband goes out, works all day, comes home. He doesn't even get a kiss when he comes in the door. I'm saying, cheer your husband more than you cheer your baseball star. Cheer your husband more than you cheer the basketball hero. I'm saying, cheer him more than you cheer the children. Love him more than you love the children. I said, love him more than you love the children. I said, love him more than you love the children. The greatest gift you can give your children is to be by his side. The way to be a good Christian is to be by his side. So you came from his side, return to his side, live by his side, be buried at his side, and bless God, spend eternity side by side. That's what motherhood is all about. Motherhood is all about wifehood. And tonight, the best gift that you can give your child is to dedicate yourself to your husband. For you're training your son to marry the right kind of a woman, you're training your daughter to be the right kind of a woman, and you're giving them a better father as their father because of your standing by his side. You heard me say this time and time again. You saw her, and you said, that's the prettiest woman I ever saw in my life. And you asked her for a date, and she responded affirmatively. That means yes. And she responded affirmatively, and you had your first date. And you said, I'm going to marry that woman, and you did marry her. And you remember, once you got married, You remember the Gucci Goos and the Boopsy Whoopsies and the Lovey Doveys? Remember all that? Think real, real hard back down there. Remember that? Remember? You had little nicknames for him. Remember that? And he had a nickname for you. And y'all were just lovey-dovey all the time. And one day he came home from work, and you said to him, "Guess where I've been today?" And he said, "Where?" And you said, "I've been to the doctor today." And he said, "You got pneumonia? What's wrong?" And she said, "No." He said, "Well, what you got?" She said, "Ain't what I've got is what we're going to get." And you remember, she got bigger and 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 bigger. When she laid on her back, she looked like a watermelon. On her stomach, she looked like a rocking chair. On her side, she fell off the bed. You remember all those days? And you remember how she got little patches on her face, little red patches on her face. And she got hungry for the strangest kind of food. Remember that? Huh? Remember? She'd want watermelon covered with peanut butter 2 o'clock in the morning. Remember that? Or ice cream or covered with Cato syrup. Strangest appetite. And then one night, about 1 o'clock in the morning, because all babies are born at 1 o'clock in the morning. I understand it. You gals have your kids in the daytime. We need our rest. She said, "Sweetheart, the pains are about five..." Would you shut up, Bob? "The pains are about 5 minutes apart." And he said, remember what she said? "Hey, now listen. Don't you worry. I'm here. I'll go out and get the driveway out of the car. I mean, the car out of the driveway. And remember? And so..." We out got in the car, and she said, "You said never mind. I'll get you. I'll get your suitcase. You go to the car." Remember how you got the bowling ball instead of the suitcase? We out got in the car, and she knew what you'd do, so she had the suitcase with her when she came out. And down the road you went, and all of a sudden you're going about 90 miles an hour in a 30 mile zone. That flashing light, the siren sounding, and you pulled over side the road. And the policeman said, "Where do you think you're going, to a fire?" And you said, "No, officer, it's my hospital here. She's going to the baby to have a wife. I mean, it's my wife here. She's going to the baby to have a hospital." And the officer said, "I think I understand." And he was a good officer. And so he took the two of you, led the two of you on to the hospital. Remember that? All those days? Remember that? Huh? Bob, remember that? Remember that? Remember that? I said, "You remember that? You do remember that." And then to the hospital. And then suffering like nobody ever suffers. Wouldn't hurt you fellows to remember those hours for a while. Wouldn't hurt you when you gripe and complain. Wouldn't hurt you to stop and remember that she went to the jaws of death to give birth to those that call you daddy. Back in my day, you didn't go in the delivery room. You stayed out in the waiting room. And the member... you fainted 3 times in the waiting room, Dick. But the doctor came out and he said, "It's a boy or a girl or nowadays halfway in between." You remember, don't you? He went back to the hospital room, and there she was. She smelled a bit like ether. You kissed her and passed out. How do you say thank you? How do you say thank you? How do you say thank you when somebody's into the jaws of death and suffered like that? And then all of a sudden, a knock on the door, and the nurse said, "You got company." And the nurse came with that a little bundle. This was a 6-month baby. And the nurse came. And there, he pulled the cover back from that little face. Ugly good night. And you heard that first little cry. Remember how happy you were? Remember? And then all the whoopsie-whoopsies were given to the baby. All the sweet words were given to the baby. All the words of kindness and love and tenderness. The Gucci-goos were given to the baby. 18 years passed. The child graduated. Maybe 21, 22 years passed. You gave her away at the altar. There sits the mother here. Little handkerchief blotting the tears. And then a pastor pronounced them husband and wife. The two of you get in the car and you drive back home. The house is dark. For the first time in years, you have hot bath water. And the towels are straight in the bathroom. And then old mud prints on the carpet. You open the door and you walk in the door and just the two of you are there and you have a life. By the way, there is life after child rearing. And you look at her and say, I remember you. I knew you pretty well before we had any kids. Remember? And she says, who are you? He said, I'm the guy, twice the guy that I was back yonder. And I'm the one you say Gucci Gucci to. Let me tell you tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies, let me tell you. You'll never reach as lofty a position as you will when you become the kind of wife that God made you to be. At His side. From His side. At His side. By His side, side by side. That's when you become a success in life. Fully on these National Organization of Women Hussies. Fully on that kind of stuff. Fully on this thing about women running for senator of New York State. I didn't say a lady, I said a woman. That's not the great thing a woman can do. The great thing a woman can do is not to head a nation or be a secretary of state or be governor of New Jersey or be a member of the Supreme Court. The greatest thing a woman can do is to stand with the guy from whose side she came, standing by his side, side by side, until they end their lives together. Let me word it in poetry. When morning's youth hath dawned today, when strength and hope abide, she takes her place for which she's made, her place right by his side. When victors come and crowns are worn, life's road is bright and wide, she shares his well-earned accolades and cheers him by his side. On mountain peak accomplishments, she beams with wifely pride. Her joys, his joys, her joy. His praise, her praise. She shares them by his side. When darkened clouds deface the sun and victory's been denied, she standeth firm where she belongs, draped closely to his side. For there she is, from whence she came, from Adam's wounded side. Betrothed by love, born from above, they cannot be untied. When friends have failed and hopes travail, there's one that will not hide. She fills her place with queenly grace, just standing by his side. When years have passed and sunsets near, soon endeth life's brief ride. She struggles toward the end with him, still clinging to his side. When death o'ertakes her cherished one, when all that can hath died, you'll find her at a lonely grave, there kneeling by his side. Then cometh that reunion time where none have sighed or cried. Ah, there she stands with her sweetheart forever, side by side. Hasten back to his side tonight. Be the kind of mother that you can be by being the kind of wife that you were made to be. Fulfill the purpose of your life, as most of you do tonight. And by fulfilling the purpose of your life, you're saying to your children, let me give you the greatest Mother's Day gift I can give you. A mother who loves your daddy. May I say tonight in closing, and I'm finished. May I say in closing tonight, young people, young ladies, do not make your goal in life to become an engineer. Do not make your goal in life to become a business person, entrepreneur. Do not make your goal in life to become a politician. You make your goal in life to find the fellow for whom God made you, and you stick by his side. You know why I'm standing here tonight? You know why for 40 years, 8 months, and a few days I've been behind this piece of wood preaching up and down this platform preaching? You know why? Because of a little lady that sits behind me tonight who stood by my side for almost 55 years. That's success. If you want to find a successful woman tonight, don't go to the halls of Congress. Don't go to the courts called Supreme. Don't go to the governor's mansion. And let me tell the two fellows running for president, choose a man to be your running mate. And let the women do the thing they're made for. Well, you say, you're trying to say we're second-class citizens. Let me tell you something, baby. You can't be more first-class than to fulfill the purpose that God made you for. Success in life is not how many people are under you, how much money you have, how much power you have. Success in life is, did you do the thing God put you here to do? School teachers, let's keep this wife factory going here at Hammond Baptist Schools. Let's keep this wife factory going at Howells Anderson College. Let's keep training and teaching these young ladies to be young ladies. You saw them walk across the platform a while ago. Nobody was slouching with a pair of blue jeans. They're ladies. They're dressed like ladies. They walk like ladies. They talk like ladies. I was watching some of our City Baptist kids. One time they didn't know I saw them. Our bus kid, teenage high school girl. What they're doing? They were to high school. You know what they're doing? They had books on their head. Walking with a book on her head. But now, wait a minute. They're walking. Why? They're teaching them how to walk gracefully. Get your pair of blue jeans on, set like a man does, your legs crossed. God have mercy on this generation. God said to Eve, I've taken you from the side of Adam. Young ladies, be ladies. Wives, be by his side. School teachers, dedicate yourself anew to train these young ladies to be the thing that God has made them to be. And may I say in closing, 3 cheers. 3 happy cheers. For the thousands of women in this room tonight who are exactly what I'm preaching about. Taken from his side to be loved, protected, and cherished at his side, by his side, from his side, and one day in heaven when we stand together in the city where nobody ever weeps or dies or hurts or pains or sorrows, no shoulders ever droop, no hands ever tremble, no feet ever walk an unsure path. No halting, faltering steps or words. I have heard of a land on a faraway strand. It's a beautiful home of the soul. Built by Jesus on high where we never shall die. It's a land where we'll never grow old. When that day comes, you and the guy from whose side God took you will live together forever and ever and ever and ever. So tonight, rush to his side. Stand by his side in victory, in defeat, in sunshine, in stormy weather, at noontime, at midnight, in triumph, and in defeat. Stand by him, by his side, until the day comes when we shall be together in the land that is fairer than they. Would you bow your heads, please, for prayer?